9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. You are listening to Karen Stacy. We are getting ready for WTF with Karen and Danielle. WTF, let's talk with Karen and Danielle. And today's topic is going to be, how has social media changed us? And this is part two, because there's so much to talk about. Last week, we talked about a lot of things that, you know, how it affected the children. If I'm not mistaken, today we're going to be discussing how it affects the adults. So make sure that you hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe and follow our show. Again, it's realtalkwithkarenstacy.podbean.com, or you can go to any of your favorite podcast platforms and search Real Talk Karen Stacy, and you will find all the different shows in there. So good morning, and thank you for joining us. Danielle, are you here, my love?
I am. Good morning.
How are you today?
Tired. I'm tired today.
Tired. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. No, it was, you know, the kids were off of school. They had half day on Friday. No school yesterday.
Why?
Teacher planning day. Why not?
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
So why not? Let's just give them a day off in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, that always after that long weekend, you get that extra, as I call it, my sleeps, right? When they were on break, I'm like, oh, I get 14 sleeps. I'm so excited. Right? That first morning, getting them up and off to school and out the door by 6:45 is just always beats me up.
So yeah, no doubt. And then the thing is that, you know, you go from like one routine to the other routine, which is really, you know, like challenging, because like you get used to getting up every morning and doing it, and that's part of your thing. And then they have these little breaks, and then you're like, okay, shut the alarm. And then you get used to that, and then it's back and forth. So yeah, fun stuff, fun stuff. What are you going to do?
Be a grown up. Everybody rushes. Don't rush.
Yeah, I know. I know. Noah always says that. Like, I'm like, yeah, you know, this adulting stuff is not fun, at all. Yeah. And speaking of, we wanted to talk today about, the effects of, you know, how has social media, you know, affected us or changed us. So we had wanted to talk about that, from the adult end, right? Because we did discuss that on the, like with our children, last week, right?
Yes.
So let's, I'm just trying to share this out to some of our groups to see if anybody can, you know, help us share it out and get more people involved in the conversation. So do you want to take the lead on how you feel that it has changed and affected the adults?
Well, I guess when we left off last week, we were talking about just dating and catfishing and the things that social media has done to grown-ups in, you know, in this dating environment. And
wait, I have
to
interrupt that thought. I think you have to do air quotations when you say grown-ups.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
In the air right now, grown-ups in this dating situation. And
quote-unquote.
Yeah, quote unquote, whatever you want to call them. I mean, you know, they figure 18-year-olds are grown up to these days and age, but they're not.
I mean, there are grown ass adults that are technically grown ups, but they're grown. They're not grown ups.
Well, I was just gonna say there's actually a couple of 50-year-olds that I know that haven't grown up yet. So
hello,
there is that, and in a perpetual state of partay and single and all the things. But, you know, I have had sisters who have used social media for dating. Some have been successful, some have not been successful, but the horror stories are there, right? And, you know, whether it's you meet up the person and they're nothing like their profile, or the person just doesn't show up, or, you know, I watch this crazy show, my husband makes me watch it, Catfish, right? And mm-hmm. you see these poor people, especially, you know, they prey on, you know, yep. the sick, the weak, you know, the,
I don't want to say insecure,
ugly, not nice, the insecure, the not completely,
lonely.
Lonely, yes. You know, and, you know, listen, and it's terrible to say, but there are some people that are not very aesthetically pleasing to the eye. You know, you sit there, but there's supposed to be love for everybody, right?
Right.
So, but it goes back to, because they look at themselves in the mirror and they don't see beauty, they have all these other emotions, right? They have the depression and the loneliness, and they become introverts and they stay inside. And, you know, they don't have that hustle, that, you know, good looking guys, they come at you, right? Cause they know they're good looking, right? You don't have that, like, that suave kind of attitude. So, you know, they are game, right? They're ripe for the picking, these poor people, right? So you get a social media and you get this girl, and all of a sudden she slips into your DM and she sends you a hi, and you're like, oh my God, like, she says hi, you know, start talking. And I watch it, and these guys, they fall in love with these girls, like, sight unseen, because good morning, baby. And they, you know, and it's a very elaborate scheme. Like, it's, you know, they have to do all these pictures and all this stuff, whether they snatch it off of, you know, these girls' only fan pages or whatever. And they lead these people astray, and these guys, and sometimes girls, they send
a lot
money.
Of times girls, a lot of times
yeah.
girls.
They send money and they do things, like, you know, and put themselves in a financial hardship to try to satisfy the needs of this person, only to find out that it's some guy in the Philippines, you know, playing games with you and took all your savings or something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, I remember when online dating and social media first came into play, there used to be a thing called
Craigslist. There was Craigslist. Okay. What did you just say? U-date. Okay.
Yeah, U-date. So you see the person's profile online and you would match with them. And then if they were online, the little text boxes. Do you remember years ago in Yahoo, you used to have the little text boxes and you could text people that were on Yahoo back before you.
Oh, I remember that with AOL.
Right, AOL started that, and then there was U-date, and then what was the other one? I remember, because I'd be at work, and my computer would be like, ping, 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 and I remember one day being so exhausted, because I was, like, talking to five different guys at the same time. I'm like, oh my God, I had, like, speed dating with five guys for, like, the last 2 hours. It was exhausting. So, trying to remember all the conversations going at once, but that was, like, the first look into what is happening now, right? But now it's gotten worse, right? So, you know, sending a picture to somebody back then wasn't as easy as it is now, right? It's like snap and go now, you know?
True.
So,
everything is downloadable now.
Everything is downloadable.
The whole world is downloadable.
Yeah. Our life is going to be downloadable at some point. Government's going to come and shut us all down. So yeah, I remember, you know, shortly after that, I met my husband. So that all stuff went out the window, but, I talk to people who do date online, and, you know, and for the most part, everybody said that it's, you know, it's just a hookup, really. It's just a way for people to hook up. They meet you, they think they can score with you right away. I was at my birthday at dinner. I was with Denise Del Ponte. And we were talking, we were in the bathroom, and the mother comes in. She's yelling at this girl, her daughter. And she's like, you just met him online. You can't be that serious about him. Blah, blah, they're talking about having, like, sex, you know? And me and Denise right away, we looked at her. Oh, no, you can't sleep with a guy you just met online. She's like, why? He's, like, totally hot and da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, because do you like him? Yes, you know, and then you don't do it. Listen,
there's a rule, and it is an unwritten rule, but you just don't do it. Like, if you like a guy, you don't sleep with him. Sorry, guys. And if you don't really care where the relationship's going, but we had this conversation, right? You said you slept with your husband right away. So, but
the longest one night stand, my first and only, the longest one night stand
ever. Yeah, but the problem is that was then, right? So we're talking umpteen years ago. I'm not trying to
right.
say
right when now, you didn't even right you didn't even like meet in person like or anything. Yeah, it's definitely much more disconnected.
Right,
now.
You know, back. Back then, you'd go to a bar, you'd exchange a look.
Yeah, you could feel, you smelled them, you touched them, you were in their aura.
Right?
Yeah.
You can feel it out.
Now, chemistry.
Right. Now, these guys, they match with you online. They're like, oh, well, she's online, she's got to be desperate, right? Then they take you out to dinner where they don't even want to pay because they want to do Dutch. And then they think they can fuck you afterwards, excuse my French. And girls are okay with it. And this is where this society and this whole online dating and this social media thing is going. Because a guy will search a girl's media. I was out with my husband this weekend. We ran into these two boys from college. You want to call them men, right? Because they're grown up and they're in their 20s, but they're not. And one of them was like, I hate social media. He was like 21 years old. I hate social media. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm over it. He's like, these girls are disgusting. He goes, it's all these thirst trap pictures. They're showing off their bodies to anybody who would look, all for a like, all for a heart, all for this, all for that. He's like, girls nowadays are nasty. You know, he had a girlfriend. She was very nice. And he's like, I'm looking for a wife. I'm 21 years old and I'm looking for a wife. The other boy that was with him, he's just like, I have a girlfriend. She's a virgin. He's like, it's a good thing and a bad thing, right? That's what he sounds like. Oh, great. I laugh. So, but he goes, but she's not out there. He goes, so I give her my attention. He goes, because all these other train wrecks, they're out there. They're putting they got thongs on. They got bathing suits that barely cover their nipples. He goes, they're all partying all over the place, hanging out with a million guys. Well, he goes, what do you think I think of them? And that's what everybody, it doesn't matter if you're young or old. That's what everybody thinks. You know, so it's very easy for an adult person who works too hard, has no social life, maybe divorced, you know, feeling lonely to fall victim to something like this.
Well, and they're not, and a lot of them aren't divorced. A lot of them are married they're unhappily married and want you to, you know, be their, you know, salvation, or their fun thing or whatever. But, you know, let's digress for a second. Do you think, so let's just like, let's think about this though. So I think that there were a lot of people I know growing up, you know, people did dress a certain way. People did do all of these things that you just mentioned. But there was no social media to post it on. So I can remember, I mean, you and I didn't hang out when we were, you know, in our early 20s.
The neighborhood grapevine was just as bad.
Hello. So that's why I'm saying that it's not any different. It's just that people, it reaches a wider audience. So in other words, in like we grew up, for anybody that doesn't know and is just tuning into us, we grew up in the Bronx and we grew up in an area where everybody knew everybody. Now, I always was under the radar because I didn't really hang out in the neighborhood, but the neighborhood people all had their own reputation. And there were people, I always tell the story, I'll say it again, there was one guy that had cribs that I had heard about, and everybody in the neighborhood had cribs after that because everybody was banging everybody. So,
yes,
you know, it's just that there's no evidence of the putanas, you know, but everybody was out there. They were all doing it, and women have dressed a certain way. And have, you know, given themselves, put themselves out a certain way forever. But now.
Yeah, I mean, you knew all the easy girls in the neighborhood.
You knew.
Guys were not subtle. They even said, oh, that's one, you know, she's.
I banged that one last week. And yeah, that one.
That one's a rabbit.
Yeah, she was blowing me in the car. Yeah, all of that, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and those were called reputations, right? I don't even know what we call it now, but
I don't even know.
What has happened in with social media is that people need validation. So we talked about this last week a little bit, right? We touched upon the likes and an adult had said to me, well, I didn't know that you see my posts because you never liked them. And I was like, I just really don't like, you know, sometimes I hit the button, sometimes I don't, you know, I use social media because of my shows and my events, and I use it more, you know, for that type of stuff. I don't use it, you know, so much for my personal stuff. So, you know, if I come up to something and I scroll for a few minutes and I happen to see it in the feed, then I happen to see it. But it's not like I'm on there for 6 hours trying to, you know, look into everybody's life, you know? And right. So if we're basing our, you know, validity on someone else's attention towards us, it's a really sad place to be. So now you have a lot of people, right, that they do all these filters. So now you're taking pictures. I mean, there are pictures that I see of people and like, you know, the filter is on and it's some crazy ass filter, because when you look at the guy, they're perfect. So you know that the guy don't have makeup on. You know, so you see those type of things, and this is the society we live in now. So when you do see somebody face to face, they look different. And I don't know if that's good or bad, meaning for self-esteem, if you continually look at pictures of yourself where you've filtered them so that you look the best that you can look, then maybe that's good for your self-esteem to think like, to feel better about yourself. Because if you feel better about yourself, then you're going to perceive, you're going to put that energy out there that you are. Maybe these people don't feel that they're very attractive. Maybe they have problems with their skin. And when they put these filters on, their skin is looks nicer and it's more perfect. So now they feel more confident. 10 years
younger.
They feel more confident about themselves, right? I don't know if that's good or bad. Because to me, it's perpetrating the fraud, and it's a
false sense advertising
of, and that as well, like, especially on a dating app and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, again, like anything else, social media has a time and a place. The dating apps have a time and a place, but the problem is that people have lost the ability to be in person and be present. So I'll give you an example. I was doing an event. And it was like a sweet 16. All the girls were on the dance floor and the guys were all sitting at a table swiping on Bumble. And I'm like, right. Is this normal? Like, are you kidding me right now? You're out and you want to meet women and there are 20 women in front of you and you have no game. So people have game. Mm-hmm. On the app, I guess, because they're keyboard, you know, wizards.
Keyboard warriors, right? Warriors.
And in person, they got no game.
Yes.
So, like, people have even less social skills now. Like, I literally was like, well, grabbing people by the hand. Let me introduce you to so-and-so. Come say hello. And I made the introduction. And guess what? The conversation lasted 8 seconds. I'm like, wow, got nothing to say, huh? You get introduced as a man, you get introduced to a pretty girl, talk. As a woman, you get introduced to a hot guy, talk. Like, yeah. Where are we now? Like, I literally, it's like, you know how, and I know you do it too. I'm sure you do it. I text my son upstairs. Because yes, I'm not exactly. Walking up the stairs. And, like, they have their headphones on. So I'm banging on the kid's door, and he don't answer the
like
door.
I old school. I scream up the stairs like if I was in the projects.
Right. But I'm saying is he don't hear me. He doesn't even hear me when I'm at his door knocking because he got the headsets on. So he can't hear. Right. So, like, we even are texting people that we're standing next to or in the same house as because we're freaking lazy. You know, to make those connections. And now when we're in person with people, we're not making those person-to-person connections. And that is one of the answers to how has social media changed us, because everything is via tech. I mean, and let's think about it. It is a hell of a lot easier to convey what you have to say when you type it than it is when you verbalize it.
Yeah, but sometimes it comes out so misconstrued. Like,
no, not sometimes, always.
And then people are like, I'm like, that's not how, you know, they'll be like, that's not how I meant it. That's how I read it.
Right. You know? Well, and that's, so me personally, I'm very clear with those things. When I read something and I'm like, whoa, I'm like, I'm sorry. What did you mean by that? Because your knee jerk reaction is, oh, really? Well, you can go fuck yourself then. But that wasn't really what they meant. So like, for instance, I was talking to somebody and they text me, hi, Karen. Goodbye, Karen. And I'm like, huh? So I text them back. I'm like, huh? And they were like, oh, no, you know, I didn't mean it to be misconstrued or whatever. I said, you know what? I didn't take it that way. I'm from the Bronx. We used to do that a lot. Hello, goodbye. Like, it was a hello, goodbye. Yeah. It was like a thing that we would say. So I kind of was thinking that could have been what you meant. But like, you need to be clear, because sometimes you type something and then you have to read it back and say, oh, well, you know what? I'm sorry. Let me just explain to you what I meant by that. Like, I didn't mean this. This is what I meant. But what I'm saying is that, like, for me, for instance, when I really have to say something to somebody and it's an emotional thing, sometimes it's hard for me to articulate and get the words out because the emotion gets in the way. So if you write it down, sometimes it's just easier to say it to somebody, but you should physically read it to them as opposed to just sending it via text, because you lose so much in translation, like you just said. Right. You know, so I think that it's a great way to miscommunicate. And yes. It's also,
you know, I miss the days when people would actually have to pick up the telephone, you know, and talk, like, you know, like you said, you do text messages and stuff like that. I have had, you know, situations, and I'm sure you have had too, where you have misunderstandings with people, and the conversation, they won't pick up the phone and call you. And of course, you're headstrong, you won't pick up the phone and call them. And then the conversation goes over through back and forth through text, back and forth through text. And it doesn't amount to anything. The only thing you do is you walk away from that text and you're like, all right, well, that's done. And because you, like I said, there's no heart, there's no emotion in it anymore. And social media has single-handedly destroyed and desensitized how people communicate and how they get to meet, get together, develop friendships, relationships. It's terrible.
Perfect.
It really is. Because you know, you have, like you said, guys and girls, you have them in relationships, but yet they'll swipe on Bumble and they're like, oh, I'm gonna go meet up with this girl and, you know, smash it for like 2 hours. And meanwhile, they just dropped off their girlfriend or whatever. And they can. That's just the thing. Like, who does that? Apparently a lot of people, by the way. And I just don't get it. I don't feel like anybody has respect for themselves anymore.
You know what? I'm going to interrupt that thought, though. I don't think it has to do with having respect for yourself. I think in certain cases, that might be the case. But in other cases, for instance, we know a lot of very strong women, and they feel that all they need from a man is, you know, his pishka deal. So they feel that they're in control. And you know what? I want to get
laid. Yeah, but that random guy will come into your room and kill you. Like I'm not down with that. Like, I know people who do it, and I'm just like,
well. Again, you don't know that for sure. It depends. Sometimes you could feel out people, and you know, this guy is just a boy toy, and you know, whatever. I mean, everybody's different. And usually when people are like that, it's because they come from a hurt place, or, you know, like, you know, especially a woman. That's not the way women are made, if you will, right? We're made to mate. We're made to, you know, like, be nurturing. We're not made to be the aggressor. We're not made to be the hunter. And what has happened in society is that women have now become this huntress, and they are, you know, badass bitches and bosses, and they're going to do the same thing to a man that a man's going to do to a woman. And
well, you know,
it's
in
funny.
The jungle, the lionesses do all the hunting. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, again, there's so many blurred lines, you know, everywhere. It really just depends on what you're looking for. I think that if you have like-minded people, then it's all, it's an unspoken, no, you know what I like, you know, like there's just an unspoken, connection, if you will. So I think that that has a lot to do with it. If you are not with like-minded people, then it's never going to work correctly. So like going back to the neighborhood, right? So, you know, for the neighborhood that, you know, Danielle and I were raised in was, yeah, you know, like you need, and this is your mentality that you just, you know, verbalized a little while ago. You know, if you're gonna, you gotta make the guy have blue balls. You know, they gotta like, it's respect and you can't be easy and blah, 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 blah. Right. And that's the mentality. That was the mentality. Meanwhile, my husband and I, when we met, literally, I don't even remember. Maybe it was the first time we met. I ended up driving him home and like we fooled around in the car. Like I never did that in my life. Again, I was 21, you know, so I was young and stupid and, you know, all of that. But that was like not something that you did, but he didn't think any less of me because because we did that, because we were both on the same page. And as I recall, he was cheating on his girlfriend at the time too. So, you know, there was a lot of, you know, messed up things that were going on at that time, but like-minded people accept one another for who they are. But if you're going onto a different level, you know, sometimes that to me, it's a game. You know, and so there are a lot of people. I read stuff on social media, right? So there are these dating groups on Facebook, dating after 50, dating over 40, dating whatever. And people say, what do you call it if you have, you know, sex on the first date? So a lot of people will say, you know, like, you're a grown adult. If you feel it, do it.
Right.
Life is short. You know, so I think that it's all about expectations. So the expectation, if you meet this person and they're a random person and, you know, that person isn't in alignment with you, then you should have, your only expectation is to make sure that, you know, you have good sex and then you keep it moving, right? But if your expectation is that you want something to grow from this, then you have to say to yourself, well, which way do I want to go? What direction do I want to go? With this, you know, I think it's expectations, and it's the same thing on social media. What is your expectation when you're posting something? Is your expectation to get validated, that people tell you that you're pretty, that people tell you that you're handsome, that people tell you that you're right, that people agree with you, that people, you know what I mean? Like, it's, what is the expectation? What validation do you need? If you need, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, right? You were saying how you get dressed and you want to look good. And yes, it's a bonus if your husband thinks you look good. And it's a bonus if whomever else maybe compliments you. But when you're walking out of the door, you dress the way you dress. You do your hair the way you do your hair. You work out the way you work out. You do all of those things for you, not for what other people perceive you as.
Correct. But, you know, on the flip side, I went out this weekend, had a great time, the music was more along the lines of music that I enjoy opposed to what my husband enjoys. So I was dancing, and my husband was like, oh, you were putting on a show, you know? He's like, and every now and again, and sometimes you don't even realize that you do this, right? But you're dancing, and then you kind of look up, and there's a group of people that are always in a certain area. And he's like, and I saw you look over there a few times to see if they were looking. Do you need validation from them? And I'm like, what are you talking about, you know?
But that's how he perceived it. And I don't even think like that. I'm just dancing. My head's flipping this way, whatever, that way. And, you know, and yeah, you know, as you're dancing and you're moving, whatever, you look to your left, you look to your right. But
especially if you're doing the Danielle move, because the Danielle move goes right and left. I have her dance down, but you don't do it as often anymore. You used to do it. You don't do it as much now.
I have bad knees now. I can't go down that far.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. My, how times have changed.
I know. My husband said the same thing. He's like, you don't go all the way down when you swish anymore. I said, I can't. My knees are terrible. So, like, I catch myself. I go halfway down, and then my knees go, God, keep trying, because your ass is going to be on the floor in about 2 seconds. And so I listen to my knees, and I don't do it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, you know, I'm dancing. I'm doing my thing, whatever. And every now and again, I would look. And sometimes, once they were looking, whatever. But my husband's like, do you need validation? Like, it doesn't make you feel good. He's like, you know. And then it goes into, you know, you don't think their wives like you, and you wonder why, because look at the way you're dancing. That's what he said. I'm like, first of all, the way I dance is the way I dance. I'm not going to change how I dance. I'm not going to do, like, the two-step side to side to appease and, you know, somebody else's wife who does not dance. Listen, I'm your wife. That's all that matters. Did you like the way I was dancing? Yeah. You know? But people think that you're trying to, like, showboat. You're trying to get attention.
Yeah.
I do all these things.
Well, because there are, you know, on the flip side of that, because there are a lot of people that do that for validation. So, you know, it's really, like I said, I think, you know, it's like our old, you know, school mentality, like they always said in the neighborhood, take it from where it comes from. You know, I mean, I like, if you're that type of person, when you're a confident person that owns who and what they are, and when you walk in the room, your presence precedes you. You don't do shit for validation. You do it right, because you are you. So, you know, this is what I'm trying to say, is that this is what social media, and this is what, you know, these filters and posting pictures and stuff. And it's also, again, perception, what people want you to see. So for anybody that's just tuning in right now, thank you for joining us. You are listening to WTF Let's Talk with Danielle and Karen. And we are on a part two of how has social media changed us. So if you're listening, please hit that heart button, check in, say hello. If you have anything to add, please add it, comment, we can discuss it. If you're catching this on the replay, make sure you follow. It's Real Talk with Karen Stacey.podbean.com, or you can listen to us on any of your favorite podcast platforms. So that was what I wanted to get into as well, is what I think that social media does is you develop a false sense of self, a false sense of reality. You know, like what we spoke about last week, how, you know, I knew somebody whose, you know, husband was out all night, and she was a nervous wreck and didn't know what he was up to. And the next day she posted, you know, a dozen roses and said, oh my God, my husband sent me roses. So that's, you know, that's a perception, so that we want people to think that life is a certain way. You know, people see my stuff on social media, and, you know, people that I know will say, oh, it looks like everything is great. You know, you're so busy, you know, yada, yada. And even you, I haven't caught up with you. You have no idea what was going on, you know, behind those pictures. And like I said, that was me, you know, smiling behind the tears. But you know what?
Is networking and a lot of, yeah.
That is not what people need to, people don't want to know that. Now, there's a difference between hiding what you're going through and perpetrating the fraud and just choosing not to share certain things with strangers. So this is the part that people go, I think there's a line there that people don't really get. So if you just want to share the positive things, especially depending on what you're looking to do, that's one thing. And you want to make a little bit of a footprint of yourself and share good times. That's one thing. But there are also a lot of people that are doing it for attention. And they, I mean, people that post things like, you know, I can't take it anymore. You know, I need to end my life, you know, or whatever, like, you know, and post it on social media, you know, that's a cry for help. Now, is it good that they're crying for help? Probably, but I don't know. Like, it's sad. And so again, they need validation that someone cares about them. And
right, because if they have to post it, you sit back and you wonder, do they have anybody in their lives that, you know, that they even can even turn to, that they have, they have to put it out there for the whole world to see.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So now it's also, I'm going to say it, it's also a false sense of security, because everybody's going to pray for you, and everybody's going to, well, maybe they're not going to physically pray for you, but they're going to put a prayer thing up in the comments. But like, they're not, then what they just did has no bearing on whatever it is that you're going through. Now, is there the random person that may actually reach out and may actually help save your life because they validated you, and maybe there is somebody that really cares and they're going to do the right thing? But like, people believe what they see on social media. So they believe the filters. They believe the, I have a happy marriage. They believe that, you know, they're worthy or they're unworthy. You know, I mean, so what's just messed up is that I've never been the type of person, like, I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And there are a lot of people that do not say what they mean and they do not do what they say. And social media is a perfect place to perpetrate the fraud.
Yes, agreed.
So I think that what it's done for us is created a false sense of everything. I mean, like, I don't, yeah, like, you know.
Well, it's, listen, it is. It's a lot of things. It's and jealousy, unfortunately. Envy is terrible because, you know, you'll see people that you grew up with, and, you know, they're excelling and they're doing fantastic. And you think, well, what the hell did he do that I didn't do right? Like, why am I still stuck here? And he's like living in the big house and he's this and he's that. And meanwhile, you guys were hanging on the corner together, doing the same thing, but his direction took a left and yours took a right. And people sit back sometimes and they look and they're like, you know, and it's a shame. I am proud of everybody. See, I don't think I'm envious at all. And if somebody is successful and they are thriving, good for you. Fantastic. Good for you, you know, but not everybody feels that way.
Well, that is true. There's a lot of envy and jealousy and people like, so even, you know, listen, in the business that I'm in, it's as cutthroat as they come. And I always just feel like everybody can just stay in their lane. You know, there's enough in life, and this goes with everything. You know, this is why, like, I am not a, you know, I know people that, you know, are married or in a relationship with somebody, and, you know, who's doing what and this, that, and the other. Listen, whatever you choose to do is your own business. But my feeling is there are enough men and women in this world that you can pick from one that doesn't call somebody theirs. You know, I mean, so like, even when you break up with somebody, now don't get me wrong, as you get older, especially, the circles get much and much smaller. So the people that you can meet become less and less and less. So, you know, if there is a person that maybe was with somebody and they broke up with them, and now you have the opportunity to perhaps be with this person, you know, there's a right way to do it, you know, especially if you knew their ex, maybe it's kind of like, hey, I don't want any hard feelings. Just wanted to let you know that, you know, me and, you know, your ex are talking, or whatever the case may be. I don't think that there's a reason to step on people's toes. And I think that what has happened is that people have no, they don't stay in their own lane. There's no like mutual human respect, and people will just step on top of somebody else for their own gain. And whether it's ego driven, whether it's, you know, like hormone driven, whether it's financial, you know, people will just do what they got to do to get what they want. And they will talk the talk until you start walking the walk.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you see that, but I mean, like, it's just like you just said, the envy and the jealousy, and you don't even know what's behind it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation with somebody a couple of months ago, and they were talking about, oh my God, did you hear so-and-so's now dating so-and-so's ex-wife and so-and-so. And I'm like, the neighborhood is so incestual. Like, everybody is with everybody, or everybody's hooked up with somebody else's ex or somebody. And they don't leave the bubble. They just don't leave the bubble. They all just kind of like passing each other amongst each other. And I think that that's too much for me. I don't like that.
Well, but all of them are like that, if you think about it, because, you know, I grew up in the Bronx and then I moved in Westchester, and they're all similar groups that all do the same stuff. It's just, like you said, it's being in the small pond. So, you know, there are big fish in small ponds, and a lot of people don't want to be the little fish in a big pond. You know, and again, there's certain protocols, there's certain ways that you have to go about things for sure. That is the reason why, and you always laugh at me, when you come into New York and you want to go out, I say to you, let's get out of Dodge. And you laugh but I prefer that, because that is, you know, people poke into things that is none of their business, and everybody talks about everybody, and it's annoying because, you know, then you see pictures, you see this, you see that, you never know what the real deal is. And that's why I'm a firm believer of, like, let's, you know, what's up? What's going on with that? Like, you know, and a lot of people, it's just a persona. So I can't express enough to people, you know, stop looking through other people's windows. You have no idea what's really going on in that place. So that person that you were saying was from the neighborhood that grew up with you and with all of us, and you see that they took a different direction. You have no idea what it took them to get that direction.
To get in that direction. That's right.
They could have gone to jail. They could have gone to jail for their boss. They could have held on to a freaking secret and covered for their boss. And when they got out of jail, they were put on a seat, you know, on the stock exchange, because they kept their mouth shut. This is how things happen, and you don't know. So you know what? If that's what works for you, and getting up that ladder is worth whatever, you know, sacrifice you made, then God bless, you know. But a lot of times you don't know what went on, and you don't know how they got that big house, and you don't know if their wife is fucking the neighbor. You don't know.
Right. That's right.
So, you know, and that's
all you see is the perception of the picture they posted for you to like. That's
correct.
All you see.
Correct. Which is why influencers are huge now, because they are a persona that they put up there, and this is what people follow. You know, there's a lot of, you know, people talk. I see men all the time on social media commenting about women, how they got fake nails, they got fake eyelashes, they got fake hair, they got fake boobs, they got fake lips, you know, they got fake asses, you know, whatever the case may be. But yet, a lot of women aspire to this. When you see women, I mean, and I see it all the time now, and I see people, you know, in real life. And really, the lips are getting bigger and bigger. You know, everything is just becoming like a caricature. And
well, that also goes to all the things that we've seen growing up, right? They sexualize women, and, you know, the boys, they put the posters up, and girls grow up and they go, oh my God, you know, this one's a sex symbol, that one's a sex symbol. I want to look like that. Guys are striving. They look, you know, it started with the girls with the big behinds, and the next thing you know, everybody started doing it because that's what guys like. But you know, when you realize, I saw a video a couple of weeks ago when the guys were like, we don't like that. We like it because it's fun.
Right.
But it's
it
like
looks
a rental
good.
Car. Right.
It looks good.
We use, but that's not the kind of girl we're going to wife up. We're going to play with it, and we're going to
send
it on its way.
But see, now here's where the plot thickens at, you know, 50 plus. with the people that are divorced or widowed or the ones that never got married in the first place. First, that, I guess, they're not looking to wife up. Not, I guess, I know. After you get divorced and you've been going through whatever or you've been through shit, you ain't looking to wife up. I mean, me personally, I believe in the sanctity of marriage 1,000%. But at 53 years old and, you know, being alone for the past 9 years after losing my husband, I even in the initial, if I wasn't going to have my son, like that's the reason you get married. You get married to have children. You can be with somebody and be committed to them. You don't need a ring on your finger. Does it make it easier legally and stuff like that? Of course. And, you know, it's the right thing to do. But at 50 something years old, when you're not looking for the future, if you will, you're looking for the present and maybe whatever can develop in the future. Maybe that look of, you know, that sex appeal or whatever is what's drawing men in, because they're not looking to stay. They're looking, and women as well. You see a hot guy, you know, and I hate to say it, sorry fellas, but the ratio between hot women to hot men, you know, men will let themselves go, and they get the bellies and they get whatever.
They should try. They're worried about fake butts and fake boobs. They should go for fake abs.
So I'm just saying that, you know, there are women are really going above and beyond to take care of themselves and to look better. And whether they're doing it, you know, in the doctor's office or they're doing it at the gym, you know, they're striving to be a better, you know, to be that symbol.
I follow like a plastic surgery page, and women, I mean, the amount of women changing their bodies on a daily basis is insane.
Well, it's an addiction, and you're always striving for perfection. And unfortunately, you know, perfection is within. Perfection is not on the outside, it's on the inside. So you're going to continue to search for something that you're never going to
find. You also have these women whose bodies get destroyed, and I say destroyed, guys, while having children for you.
That's different.
And then the husband turns and says, well, no, I'm not attracted to you anymore because your body is a mess. And then they wind up with a younger girl with a body that they'll ruin eventually because they're having children. And these women, it takes an emotional turn on you. Like, you're like, holy shit. And you look at yourself and you are. Right? Your boobs are saggy, your belly is loose, your butt's big. And you're like, oh my God. And that's because you gave life to these beautiful children. But in the end, you lost yourself. So, I mean, getting the plastic surgery, putting their bodies back together again.
Yeah. You know what? Listen, do me a favor. Talk for a minute because there's somebody at my door. I'm going to mute. So keep talking.
Right.
How do I mute? I don't even know how to mute.
Down at the bottom, you mute.
Down at the bottom.
Did you find it?
No.
Down by your head, put your message.
You know what? Let me just, I'm going.
All right, just go.
Keep talking.
I am talking. So, you know, we talk about that, right? These women, they keep trying and they keep trying to empower themselves, and social media keeps pushing, right? You have Kim Kardashian, you have all of these women who change their bodies on a, you know, on a dime, right? They've got big boobs, they've got big butts, they've got small waists. Who's taking out a rib? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? And then they, you know, now the trends are changing, right? Now the butts are coming out and the boobs are getting smaller and it's more of an athletic look. And, you know, women just can't keep up with it. But social media tells us, you know, like Karen said, you have all these influencers. They do makeup. They do hair. Mm-hmm. Where we are programmed to try to be beautiful, one better than that. Change your eye color, do this, do that, you know. I mean, I can't tell you the things that I see, and I watch my daughters as they, and I don't fall for it.
Trickle down, yeah.
And social media doing all this. Mommy, can I get blue contacts? No. Meanwhile, I did green contacts when I was in my 20s, so I'm watching 20. Everything recycled.
20, right? Not 13.
Right. But I'm watching everything recycle, and I'm like, oh my God, really? You know, and
again, we didn't have social media really to influence us. We had Cosmo magazine and Cosmopolitan. We had all these other magazines, Vogue and the things like that we used to read. And but social media is wrecking the image, because men, they want these women, they want these beautiful women, right? And like you said, they'll cheat on their wives, or they'll get catfished by the dude in the Philippines, because somewhere along the lines, is they're sitting there overworked and overweight, they think, I should have the hot girl, you know, instead of appreciating the wife that you have, who's cooking your dinner and cleaning your house, taking care of your kids, and making sure your life functions. And,
yes, you know, but I have to interrupt that thought, because we did talk about this, right? That there are also the wives or husbands that let themselves go completely. You know, and then, you know, there's that, you know, but again, it's a lot of that can become hormonal. You know, women do suffer from depression sometimes after the children, right? We talked about all of this before. So, yeah. You know, there are different reasons, and, you know,
but in a man's defense, then you have men who are
doing their best,
supportive. They're doing it, and they're supportive, and they look at their wives and like, baby, you want to get your body fixed? Go ahead. You know, go for it. I love you, and I want you to feel good about yourself. And then the wife feels great, and then she looks at the husband and says, like, he's a mess, and I look fabulous, and I'm going to go out now and find myself a new guy. So, you know, it's such a vicious circle, whether the circle is going clockwise or counterclockwise. You know, it doesn't really matter. It's, you know, we are so... I want to say overstimulated by all of this information, this false information that we're taking in all the time on social media, that it's destroying lives. It really is.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Go ahead.
There you go. Yeah. No, I mean, it's again, this is why I think it was important for us to talk about this, because, you know, I always try to give people a different way of looking at things, a different objective. And, you know, the whole thing is that it's all perception. And so if you have, you know, when what you're looking at and what is in actuality are not always the same thing. And there are some people that are honest, and then there are some people that are just perpetrating the fraud. And it's funny, because I was speaking to someone the other day, and they were like, you know what, you got to just do things as though you're this and that. And, you know, people can't know that you're struggling. People can't know this. People can't know that. And, you know, I understand, and we were raised that way. And that is really like people from our generation. And I was having this conversation with another person. You know, our generation, we were raised like, buck up. Like, you can't, don't ever let anybody see you cry, and keep it moving. And you tell everybody, you don't air your dirty laundry. You don't speak about your family. You don't do any of those things, right? And we were taught to be strong, and we are. But then I, like, for instance, for myself, and I know you experienced this when you had lost your father, when I lost my husband, there was the strength I had was just to get out of bed in the morning. And I would literally just be hysterically crying in the middle of nowhere. I would be in the supermarket and just start crying. I would be driving my car and start crying, and people would see me and look like, oh my God, what's wrong with this person? And I recognized that, you know what? Nothing happened to me. Like, I wasn't, like, if you think that I'm weak because you see me cry, then you have no idea what strength actually is. And I say this to people, it is harder to show vulnerability than it is to be a tough guy. Because being a tough guy is easy, because all you're doing is pushing all that stuff away. But showing somebody that you actually have emotions, not only does it prove how strong you are, but it also proves that you own who and what you are, and you're not trying to pretend that you're okay. And I can't do that. Like, people would, oh, how you doing? And I would always tell, yeah, no, I'm good. But, you know, like, when I remember people having to teach me what to say when somebody would say to me after my husband died, oh, well, how are you doing? And I want to look at them and go, are you like, what's wrong? What, how am I doing? How the fuck do you even ask me that question? You know, and like, you know me, I'll answer the question and you don't want to hear the answer to the question. So they would say to me, you have to say as good as can be expected. And I would rehearse that so that I could say it, because I was not, I don't perpetrate the fraud. If I'm not okay, I'm not okay. And I'm not going to tell you, you know, I'm going to say it, whatever. But, you know, there are certain people that you, you know, have to keep your full face on. And then there are other people that you can be yourself. But in my opinion, until you've been brought down to your knees by some type of a tragedy that has gone on in your life, you will never understand that. And when you go through these tragedies, it makes you who and what you are. And every single day you will become a better person if you grow from it. If you become resentful and you go into a dark place and you're the victim, then you never will. So know who and what you are, so that whatever you're portraying on social media, or, you know, your pictures or your inbox or whatever, you just got to know what's going on. I mean, and that's as real talk as it comes, because everybody is out there trying to perpetrate the fraud. Now, again, you don't want to show that you're a goddamn mess, but at the same token, you can't own something that you don't own.
So don't post pictures of you crying like, oh my God, my life is terrible. No, don't do that.
Right. And that's the other part, right? The martyr, you know, the victim. If, you know, people don't even read what they write sometimes. You could see, you know, how many people end up in somebody's inbox. And if you don't say anything, they have a conversation with themselves. That's I don't know true. If you've ever experienced this, but
15 seconds later.
Yeah. If you don't engage with somebody, or it's like a one word thing, you will get a whole dissertation afterwards. And you're like, wow, like it took 5 minutes for this person to show me exactly who they were.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. You know, and so, you know, that's the, you know, that's a whole other, you know, story. But again, we want people to be as real as they can possibly be. And if you do something because it makes you feel better, then God bless and it's all good. But if you're living off of the validation of others via social media or anything, then you're doing things for the wrong reason. Like I said the other show, if you're donating to charity just so you can post that you donated to charity, that's not then you're not getting the value of what donating to charity really is about.
Correct.
You know, and that's where I think the lines go askew. So what would be your closing argument on this topic, Danielle?
Closing argument on this topic. My dog is bothering me. So, you know, listen, sit back, really reflect, look at yourself, look at your surroundings, try to really appreciate the blessings that you have around you. And yes, not everything might be perfect, but it is what you have. Like I said, I know people, they pretend, they'll be sitting on the couch and they'll pull a video from like 3 years ago that nobody remembers, and they'll post it just to make it look like they're out there having themselves a good time. My father used to say, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, right? Right. So it does, just because somebody posted it doesn't make it true. So don't live your life based off of somebody else. Try, you know, we're smart. Use your common sense. Don't fall victim and prey to social media, because, you know, it does prey on you every single day. You know, did you watch that show? What was that show on Netflix? What's the name of that movie where the social experiment? Did you see it?
I did not.
It came out like 2 or 3 years ago. And basically it shows how, you know, it shows people at computers, but it's about social media, and it shows how these computers, like, oh, if you put down your phone, it says, oh, so-and-so is not active. Let me send them a poke, or let me send them this, or let me send them that. And they do these things to continue to engage you on your phone and engage you on your phone to pull you in. Because that's where they want us, right? They want us dumb and they want us stupid, and they want us looking in our phone and not paying attention to what's happening around in the real world.
Yep.
You know, we're smart, right? We're Gen X. We're smarter than the other ones. Stay with it and stay focused.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we're that smart because I keep saying that the phones are getting smarter and smarter and the people are getting dumber and dumber. So.
Oh, my God. So I just saw a video that the new iPhone update will tell people, like, if you're on FaceTime with someone, it'll tell people, like, oh, so-and-so scrolling on X right now, which used to be Twitter, right? Uh-huh. So so if you're FaceTiming with somebody, you know how you minimize your picture and, like, you're going to be scrolling or looking at something online? It gives, like, little alerts, or it notifies you of, like, if you put somebody in your phone as, like, don't answer the call, this one's a jerk or whatever, it shows the actual, how you actually have their name. It was a bunch of stuff that I just saw. I'm going to send you the video. But they're making it almost impossible to have any anonymity.
You say that three times fast.
Yeah. Feel like Nemo. like I said, these phones are getting smarter and smarter, and they're stealing more and more of our privacy.
Yeah. We're getting taken over for sure. So that's why
you have to learn how to put it down. You know, I try my best to take my phone. And at night when I'm sitting with my husband watching a show or dealing with my kids, I try to just put it down because it can consume you.
Yeah.
So think about the first thing you set your alarm clock on it. You roll over in the morning. The first thing you do is you open your phone. You start scrolling. Did anybody send me messages? Yep. Did anybody this? Did anybody that?
Yeah. And then the worst part is that especially if you work, you're accessible to people 24/7. Like I have people that are reaching out to me at 11 o'clock at night or at like 9:30 on a Sunday morning. Like why don't text me at that time. You're not my fucking friend. Like, you know, and my friends know not to do that. So like, you know, who does business at 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday?
I mean, I don't accept phone calls at 9 o'clock in the morning.
No, me neither. But I'm just trying to say that because of the phone and social media or whatever it is, everybody is accessible 24/7 and people don't, look, when we grew up, right, there was etiquette. You're not allowed to call somebody after a certain period of time, and it depends.
Yeah, remember when you used to answer the phone, like, somebody better be dead, because I don't know why you're calling me. You don't.
Right, because after 10 o'clock at night, you're not allowed to, you know, reach out to somebody. It's not appropriate. Now people will reach out to you at any given time.
Yeah, that was at BlackBerry. The BlackBerry did that, you know.
Did it?
Yeah, because I remember at work, I used to have my phone and stuff like that. But remember, we also had minutes, right? So we couldn't talk until after 7 o'clock because that's when it was cheaper. And when the BlackBerry came out, and all of a sudden, your job was able to text you and send you emails at all given hours of the night. It was terrible.
Well, an email is a little different. That's different because, you know, the email usually, you know, a text message goes right to your phone. An email, if you're not the person that checks your emails every 3 seconds, they're in there and that doesn't, you know, affect. But.
And you remember the next cell?
Yes. Well, that was the walkie talkie. Yeah. But. Yes.
And they send an alert if you didn't answer your phone.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. I mean, I'm just saying that everybody has become completely accessible. And again, we spoke about this, for part one, you know, that by doing so, you're allowing people into your living room. So you really just have to be careful, stranger danger. You got to be aware of, you know, who you are corresponding with. Like you were saying in the beginning of the show, you know, it could be somebody in freaking Nigeria that's working you, you know, pulling on your heartstrings to get money out of you.
And remember also, there's facial recognition everywhere. So if you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing and somebody's panning the room with their camera, they are going to catch you.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other show, but yeah.
But you know, social media doesn't matter what you're doing. If there's always somebody panning the room, always. And I tell my girls, I just had this conversation with my daughters yesterday. Social media does not go away. You think you can delete it, it doesn't matter. It will go. You have companies that can do deep dives. They find everything. You know, I tell my daughters, before you post anything, rewatch it. Don't watch it as who you are. Watch as an outside person. If you're a boy, if you're a college administrator, if you're somebody that would watch that and think, do not post that post.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, because this, you know, we're living in a place now where everything will follow you into the future.
Yep.
Everything. You know, and people don't get it. You know, like I, you know, you see all these things, these girls, they're doing this, they're drinking, they're twerking, and I'm like, oh my God, like I like my stomach gets like, and I look at my daughter, I'll strangle you, yeah. You know, and they're like, Mom, we're not going to do it. But listen, there will be a point in time, you may not want to do it, but you might be having fun one night and your friend decides to videotape you and she posts it.
Right, because she doesn't have a person that's explaining to her. I mean, listen, you have a lot of videos in your phone. I mean, I can think of one in particular that if you posted that on social media, I would laugh hysterically because I don't really give a shit and it was harmless. But yes, if that was viewed by people, they would definitely have a lot to say about it. Which again, I own, but you know, we all have those things, and you know, that's all learning how to be a good friend and a good human is that you don't do that. You know, that's
right. Yeah, you took the video, you look back, you laugh at it, but you don't post it.
But you don't post it for everybody to judge or whatever. So, you know, in closing, I think everybody should just keep social media, you know, at bay, if you will. You know, don't take it so seriously. Don't do things for validation. If you are finding yourself doing these things for validation, you know, really go deep inside of yourself
to reassess.
Right, to understand why you feel the need for that validation. You know, when it's harmless fun, it's harmless fun. But when it's like, you know, you're basing your identity off of it, you need to check yourself. So I hope everybody has a great week. Happy Tuesday. Thank you guys for tuning in to WTF Let's Talk with Karen and Danielle. We thank everybody that tuned in. I see that Mick D07 said that he saw, I guess, the same thing on Netflix that you had spoken of. So thank you guys for the comments. And remember, you can always catch it on the replay. And we will see you next Tuesday. Have a great day.